you have been tuning in over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been doing things a little bit differently in August. Rather than having a sort of a longer sort of 30, 40 minute preach, we've been actually trying to get a bit practical and wrestle with some really, really practical topics. A couple of weeks ago, Jeff talked to us all about how to read the Bible. And then last week, Lucy shared brilliantly with another gang of wonderful people, all about how to pray and how to worship. And today you'll see I've got some special guests with me. We've got the wonderful Justine, Andrew and Hannah. Give us a wave, everyone. There's a wave. There we go. Slightly awkward, I know. And they're here with me today to have a really, really fruitful conversation all about grace, which is a pretty meaty topic, I think you'll agree. And so I thought we'd start off in just a moment. I'm just going to look at a scripture and just explore that just for a few minutes before we have a broader discussion. But I thought it'd be useful just to start off today to hear from you guys and just to ask you what's your first impression when I say the word grace. What's your initial reaction in your heart when you hear that? I'm going to start with Andrew.
Freedom.
Freedom. Great. Yeah, just it's a good answer.
Of no weight on me.
Brilliant. Hannah?
I'm not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. And Justine?
Undeserved.
Undeserved. Excellent. Well, that may come up in a moment's time, actually, Justine. It's almost as if you prepped me. So what we'll do, we'll just take a look at the passage. But before that, I'm just going to ask for God's grace because I feel like I need it today. So Jesus, I just want to thank you for your grace. And I just want to ask that we'd really know that today, that we'd know your grace as we read your word, as we explore your word, and as we have our conversations today, that we would, yeah, just really, really know your grace today. Amen. Amen. So today, guys, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. And 2 Corinthians, many of you will know, is a book written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. And it's no coincidence, really, that we're hearing from Paul today when we're talking about grace, because there are, I'm sure you know, 131 verses in the Bible that talk about grace. Andrew's nodding his head. And of those 131 verses in the Bible, 86 of them are written by Paul. So 65% of all the verses in the Bible that talk about grace are from Paul. So it's no surprise that he's known as the Apostle of Grace. And I think it shows that Paul knew just how fundamental this truth is to our lives as Christians. It's just so important that we understand it and are able to implement it in our life. So let's look at the passage. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 9 to 10, and it starts by Paul referencing something that Jesus spoke to him. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So grace, as I said, you know, it's a really meaty subject. People have written huge books on the subject, and we've got a few minutes to talk about it today. So we're not going to be able to go too deep. And it's difficult to know where to start, really, because it's such a huge topic. But while I was preparing, I saw something that was written by a guy called John Piper, who's a theologian and Bible teacher in America. And he sort of split grace into two different categories. The first one being grace as undeserved favor, and secondly, grace as power for living. So grace as undeserved favor and grace as power for living. So those are the two aspects we're going to look at briefly. First of all, grace as undeserved favor. Yeah, I think this is probably the most common understanding of grace. It speaks of the fact that our salvation is an unearned gift from God, just as Justine was referencing earlier. You know, we can't claim any credit for our own salvation. In fact, there's probably thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of reasons that count against us when it comes to our own salvation. It says in the Bible, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so therefore, the fact that we're saved, the fact that we have salvation is evidence of God's incredible grace and kindness towards us. You know, without that grace of God, there's no redemption for the consequences of our sin. The fact that we're saved at all, it just shows just how undeserved and unearned that favor is from God. And I think that's probably the most common understanding of grace. But something I hadn't, if I'm really honest, hadn't really given as much consideration until I was really thinking this through and studying this a little bit in preparation for today. This idea of grace as power for living, it's the one that's perhaps a bit more overlooked. I don't know if any particular words jumped out to you when we read the passage earlier, but when I read it for the first time, or for the first time recently, the word that jumped out was weakness. It's referenced four different times in just those couple of sentences. And weakness, I think it's an uncomfortable word for us culturally. You know, we don't like weakness in our culture. It's something that we try to hide, and we're told that actually what you should do is really sort of accentuate your strengths and put your best foot forward, that we should hide our blemishes and hide all of our weaknesses. And you know, personally, I know that I'm really susceptible to that. I'm really susceptible to pride and falling into the trap of trying to show that I'm actually a really capable person, and I'm really impressive. You know, I've got it all sorted. You know, I don't have any weaknesses. But of course, we all know that's utter rubbish. You know, we're all just broken people trying our best. And Paul's sort of encouragement to us is actually not to cover up our weaknesses, but quite the opposite. He calls us to boast in our weaknesses. So why does he do that? Well, Paul says that when we boast in our weaknesses, it allows God's power to move in our lives. He says that in that passage that we should boast of our weaknesses, that the power of Christ shall rest upon me. He's encouraging us to get our egos out of the way, and that when we accept our weaknesses and lean on Jesus to intervene, he reveals that he is in fact the source of our strength. That it's his grace in working in us to empower us and change us. And so what does that mean for us today? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." So that's the throne of God, the God who treats us far better than we deserve to be treated. But then it continues, "That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And that's the beautiful thing about grace. God's grace is both undeserved favor, but it's also a powerful help for us to live the life that he's called us to live. So I hope that helps explain a little. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny little foray into a massive subject, but hopefully that will aid our discussion. And so I thought we'd just kick off with a fairly straightforward question, really. I'd just be really interested in hearing from you guys about what your experience of grace is. Hannah, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. Some of you might know that I came back to God about 7 years ago, after 14 years away from church, and I'd enjoyed life in those 14 years, but I came back to God and I was like, but I've been here, I've done this, I've done that, and I don't deserve this. And our dear friends Hugh and Claire both said to me at that time, "God's having a party over you in heaven," recording to me the about me being the one sheep. God is having a party over you. It's like, whoa, really? And that, I'm still getting my head around that. I really am, because I work quite hard in all things I've always done, but I didn't work, and I'm in this place, and it's wow.
Yeah, those things are often so ingrained, aren't they? That sort of way of thinking of needing to earn what you get. This idea of just grace that is undeserved is such a shift, isn't it? We're all just works in progress, really, in understanding and embedding that, aren't we? I think
constant work in progress. constant work in progress. I'm nowhere near there. Bring on the day in eternity when I'm there with Christ, and all these earthly things are long gone.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Justine, anything you'd like to share?
I suppose grace, the whole concept of grace for me was very alien, not being a Christian for most of my life. And I think I remember as part of a salvation prayer, praying for freedom and knowing that freedom came in Christ. But I think it's been quite a long journey to really grapple with my acceptance being in Christ, and that almost free, and understanding the grace that as Hannah said, it's not earned, it's not deserved, that I'm chosen, you know, and that's a really alien concept, and it blows my mind, you know, why God would have done that. So I think I found it very difficult. I'm a bit of a, in my flesh, quite a perfectionist. So day to day, I think I do struggle with that. But yeah, like Hannah said, work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not allowed.
Absolutely not. Andrew, anything you'd like to share?
I kind of, over my Christian life, I've had various struggles with understanding grace. So I became a Christian when I was 13 at a summer camp. And although I know God was real for me back then, I never quite understood grace. So it was always for me that I had to be a good person. I had to be good and not lie, not think bad thoughts, you know, that sort of thing. But by the time I got to 16, 17, I was failing miserably on all of those counts. So, and I drifted away from God and drifted away from the church. It wasn't until I was about 21 and Illy lent me this book called The Screwtape Letters. And I thought, oh, what's this? And it was C.S. Lewis. And I loved the Narnia Chronicles because that's what they used at the camp to introduce the story of Jesus through Aslan. I started reading Screwtape Letters, and it's really interesting because the devil's trying to get his subject, the man who's become a Christian, to think about feelings and about himself and not look up to God. And so he was in this pit of despair because he couldn't be a good person. But C.S. Lewis made, through the devil character, made the point that we need to keep our eyes, he wanted to divert his eyes from God to ourselves. And so that kind of lit a light bulb in me. And then when I came back to Christ and started coming back to church again, it was a while before I got a bit more about grace. And that's when I went to a different church, and there was a preaching series on grace, and it blew my mind because it essentially what the preacher was saying to us was that if you understand grace well, we can do anything because Christ has paid for our sins. His blood covers us and has paid for any sin we have done, any sin we will do. So there was this weird moment where I thought, if you understand sin, grace, you can do anything. But should we? And then that was the other step, was that actually we don't sin, and why don't we sin? You know, Romans 6:1 says, should we then go on sinning? By no means. Because we work out our faith through works. And that's where the works comes in. It's not to save us, it's to sanctify us and keep us walking the walk and becoming more like Jesus as we walk.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's really interesting that all of us have shared a similar experience there, that obviously we all, you would hope in the moment that you choose to become a Christian, understand that, you know, the basics of grace, of what's being offered. And yet it's a journey for all of us. And it's really encouraging, I'm sure, for anyone who's out there now watching this feeling, oh yeah, this is it's a thorny subject for me. You know, I don't feel like this is completely embedded. Like, actually, Yeah, that's so common for so many people, isn't it? You get, it's a process, and you get a kernel, a nugget of something at the point of giving your life to Jesus, and then we spend the rest of our lives figuring out how you do it, which is encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah.
And speaking of trying to figure it out and working out how we actually work that out in our day-to-day lives, Hannah, have you got any examples you'd be able to share where, I guess, how does, now that we've sort of talked through what grace is, what does that look like in your day-to-day life? How does it impact you as a Christian, being able to understand that there is grace for you?
I love the description you gave from John Piper of the power for living, because my word, it's jet fuel, really. And I've sometimes joked, there's a few good friends within the church that I will drink coffee with, and I was like, this is how I carry on going. But it's more kind of the grace. It's the grace of God, really, that keeps me going. It's quite funny. Before we started to get all of the boys' diagnoses, I think we would have only got one at the time. A lovely lady who used to come to the church gave me the scripture you read today on a plaque, and it's still up in our room, and I've read it all the time. But basically, God, just coming back to the power for living, it's really just, it's kept me going, really, because I was always a perfectionist. I've grown up being academically high achieving. The family, I was a preacher's daughter growing up. Everything was just right. And then I'm blessed with a gorgeous husband. And then suddenly everything's not quite right. And the way that I have carried on living, the way my children are prospering, is by the grace of God. And there's nothing else, basically. By the grace of God, we, on many occasions, we've had just the right therapies. For example, there was one that Reese needed to talk, and by the grace of God, we couldn't afford it. He went to a new school about 6 months later. They called me up, and it's like, Mrs. Arnold, would you mind if we did this? I'm like, no, please do. And they gave him the therapy for free as part of his education. By the grace of God, Justine will know, many times our ladies prayer group have prayed as Daniel's gone to hospital for his haemophilia, and the NHS, they're totally overrun. But we've had inhuman times of where we've just gone through so fast, and we turned it round in 2 hours, and I have a child not spurting blood coming back down the A299 to come home. And also, Reese has a habit of not sleeping, like really badly not sleeping, like starting his day maybe at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then going through maybe till 8 o'clock the next evening. And I would say it's grace that has kept us going through that time, has given us a power to carry on, but also a joy in life. Sorry, I hope I'm not rambling. And has also preserved my marriage. While at this time I'm married to an amazing but not yet Christian man. So yeah, I was joking with you before, talking about truckloads of grace, and I think my analogy of the truck, that's actually the truck which pulls away other trucks drive on it, that's how much grace I need to be a mum. And praise God, he's given it to me. The children, life's not perfect, life is really not perfect. God never promised me an easy life, and that's not what we've got, but I have the power to keep going, and I have the power, especially Daniel is struggling at the moment with his ADHD, because he literally cannot stop moving for hours upon end. But God gives me power to love him through really, really difficult situations. I could say a lot more.
No, I'm sure. No, that is just amazing, Hannah. Thank you so much for sharing so honestly. But it's just a brilliant example of exactly what we've just been talking about, of being really honest and aware of our weaknesses, but therefore, you know, because we allow the space there for God to intervene, he does amazing things, and it's so easy to see his grace, isn't it, when you describe it like that. But yeah, just a brilliant testimony. Thank you so much for sharing. And we'll finish off now, because certainly at the time of recording, it is a hot evening, and we need to move on. But I'll just finish off with just a question about, you know, how does this truth about grace impact our ability to share our faith about Jesus? You know, how do we share the gospel in light of this grace that we're offered? Andrew, have you got anything that you can shine a light on there?
Yeah, I think if, like at work, your colleagues know you're a Christian, often you'll hear something like, they might say something that they feel ashamed they said in front of you, and they'll say, oh, you know, that's a black mark to me, or I'll get into heaven, that sort of thing. But that can often lead to a good opportunity to say, ah, but it's not about works, it's about grace. And then they look at you and think, what are you talking about? And some are interested and want to hear more, and others aren't, and they quickly walk away. But it does open the door, and you can start explaining how it's all about what Christ did for us, not what we've done to make ourselves good. And also be honest about how, you know, I'm not a perfect person, and I keep stumbling and falling, and I keep sinning, but I can, it's 1 John 1:9, I can confess my sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And every time, you know, it's a free gift. I can come, there's that opportunity to come and confess my sin to him, not to anyone in particular, but to him directly. And to be honest about the fact that we still stumble in this life, you know, we're not perfect, and we won't be perfect until we meet him in heaven. So, but that can be really great, because then hopefully you can talk to someone on the same level and say, well, look, we're no different. You know, the only difference for me is I've got Jesus in my life. Do you absolutely want to know more?
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's really, really helpful. I think, I can really relate to that, and I think that's something I feel like I need to get better at is being a bit more vulnerable and a bit more open about my weaknesses, I suppose. I think, as I talked about earlier, my temptation is to kind of be practical and capable, and that perhaps that's not always giving Jesus an opportunity to do the things that he would like to do in me. And it's something, again, like with Hannah, I always think, when I think about you and I think about somebody who's so brilliant at showing their vulnerabilities, that you're, you know, incredibly gifted in tons of ways, but you're also just really, really honest and open about being human. And it's not even weakness, it's just sort of human weakness that we're all subject to. Justine, is that, how do you feel you do in that area of vulnerability and being real about our humanity?
I think for a long time, like you sort of shared in the beginning, Ben, I found that really difficult. I felt like I needed to put on a front. I would be, you know, who would want to know me if I didn't have it all together? And I think God really broke something a few years ago in actually, if I wanted to advance the gospel, actually being vulnerable, you know, I should be pointing people to Jesus, not who I am, not if I've got it all together or not. If I've got it together and I've got joy in my heart, it's because of the one who gives it to me. So I think for me, it's kind of sharing that. And the one thing I also think from kind of grasping a little bit more of grace is to lavish that grace on others. So, you know, to try and see the good in people. And it's something that, you know, even my bosses in work have noticed that's different. So I think, oh, thank you, Lord, that, you know, you've kind of sort of spoke to me about that, and I am able to be more vulnerable, and maybe people feel more approachable, because I would always try to look at, well, why did that thing happen? Whereas others might be more judgmental. So I think it's helped with that too.
Brilliant. Another great example. Well, thank you so much, guys. I've really enjoyed this. I genuinely feel like I could keep talking for hours. It's such a rich subject, isn't it? And for me, I feel like I've got so much more to learn, and I feel like I've learned so much from you just by having this short chat. So thank you so much. I'm sure the rest of the church are grateful for your honesty. We'll leave this here, but I'm going to hand over now for a bit more worship before we close our meeting.